through special gifts from you folks and others, the books that you are using are completely paid for. And of course, we did that. It's an honor to Doc, who loved music and had a lot to do with, though he never sang a solo, never played an instrument, though he knew how to do so. But he was a great encouragement in that area, and it's one reason I wanted to devote that to him. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 11, the book of Psalm, and chapter number 11. While you're turning there, I want to make mention, Mrs. Smalley's been having a really rough time. She's having cancer treatments. It leaves her sickly. She called me today, and she's got a urinary infection, which all those things seem to go together. But remember in prayer, if you get a chance to give her a call, I'm sure she'd appreciate that, just be able to talk to somebody. She calls me about every 2-3 days and just asks for a few moments. And tonight she said what I've suspected all along. She says, "I just want to hear your voice." And so that means a bunch. Book of Psalm, chapter number 11. Did anybody hear about Mrs. I didn't even call today. I couldn't call anybody for a couple of days. Mrs. Nelson. Nobody knows how that came out? Okay. Okay. All righty. She really is upset she can't come to church. Yes. For who?
Martha.
Oh, okay.
Martha at this stage is to help her cook.
Do some of the stuff around.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Don't forget to pray for Lisa. Her stepson, as most of you know, he committed suicide. I think funeral's tomorrow. It's rather difficult. She really didn't have anything to do there because she's a stepmom. But yet there's an association. But just remember them in prayer concerning that, especially after losing her husband earlier. And so you get that double whammy. Some of you know exactly what that's all about, too. Alrighty, so don't forget your brethren in prayer in these things. Chapter number 11, the book of Psalms, please. And if you'd read silently while I read it aloud, notice what it says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. We have the privilege to enter this place one with another. Lord, I thank you for those who have come tonight. I pray you might bless them abundantly for it. I pray as we leave from this place tonight, we might be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray that you'd use us throughout the remainder of this week. I would ask that you would help each of us to be able to witness to somebody and seek to bring them to church this Sunday. Work and bless in our hearts now as we look in your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The title of my message actually comes out of verse number 3, "What Can the Righteous Do?" You know, the Psalms are very rich in their deposits of what I would call experiential knowledge. It's not just things that we know, but things that we can experience and know as a result. And so the Psalms, their tremendous in this area is why they're loved so much. David, in his lifetime, Of course, he wrote most of the Psalms, was placed in almost every situation a person could come into. And so God used that and helped him, and through that revealed to him what I would say is the marvelous Word of God. His heart is seen in all these situations, and we can identify with him in these kinds of things because we can see that too. I think we can see ourselves in chapter 11 if we really stop and understand what it's saying here. Our own hearts can be thrust into the heavenlies as we discover with David the victories that are in Christ. This psalm must have been penned at some point when Saul was seeking his very life. It was a tough time in his life. And we find here that he has some counsel from no doubt some friends. And he says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" And so they're seeking for him to flee for his safety. But this was not a time for fleeing. It was a time for trusting. I think it can remind us of Nehemiah. In chapter 6, the book of Nehemiah, verse number 10 says, "Afterwards I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee in the night. Will they come to slay thee?' And I said," this is Nehemiah, "'Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in.'" He understood that they were seeking to really make him look like a coward. And they were seeking to have something against him. And he said, "No deal. And I'm not going to flee from that which sets before me." And so we see in this chapter, though it's only 7 verses long, I believe some very tremendous truth. I want us to notice, first of all, in verses 1, 2, and 3, the temptation. Now, we notice there in verse 1, it came no doubt from his friends, and they were concerned for his welfare. And as they give counsel, we need to understand some of the things that are brought to us in the way of counsel can seem so very right, when in actuality they can be serious temptations. And so it's very needful for us to have the discernment of the Lord's will in all situations. Very critical that we determine His will. That can be somewhat tough if we've not done that before, but we need to learn how to find the will of God for our lives. Now, when the attack of Saul was very obvious, the counsel of his friends seemed to be really kind of subtle. For David to flee at this time would show a lack of trust in God. You know, there's a time when a man must stand for what is right, no matter the impending circumstances. There are things that come our direction that we just need to stand up to, no matter what the circumstances are that come along. We're living a time like that right now, are we not? And there's a lot of things about, we could actually put in the realm of fleeing and rather than standing. I think about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the privilege really to flee from the situation they had, but no, they stood. And Nebuchadnezzar, he says to him, "Listen, you guys, if you just say this, it'll be okay." But they would not do so. And they knew what was going to take place. They were cast into the burning fiery furnace. But God saw fit to save them, as God is so marvelous at doing. Well, we notice in this chapter that it says, "The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." It is saying here, the wicked, like Saul, is seeking after them. And he is wanting to kill him. He says, privily or privately shoot at the upright in heart. And then he makes this statement, verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The very foundations of law and justice were destroyed under Saul. And he was not following things correctly in regards to that. And yet the question of David is, I think, answered by its counter question. It says here, what can the righteous do? But really, what cannot the righteous do? What is it they cannot do? And you and I need to understand that we have a tremendous ability in Christ to go forward, even when it seems like the foundation has been thrown out from under us. He had witnessed this before. Remember when he was a boy and he came down to the Philistines and there stood Goliath and all the Hebrews were round about, they were scared. And Goliath is saying, you send me somebody out here and I will fight with them, and whoever wins will be the winning army. And of course, here's this little stripling of a guy. He's probably 18 years of age, and he's never really been anywhere other than in the fields with the sheep. And we find that he took a stone and the sling that he was used to using, and he slung that stone, and the giant fell down dead. There's no such thing as impossible with the Lord. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that tonight? All things are possible to him that believeth. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And we have a God that can take us through anything that is put in our way. What can the righteous do? Well, I think what the righteous can do is find the source of their sustainment. Notice verse number 4. The Lord is where? In his holy temple. The Lord's throne is where? In heaven. Notice the colon. He's going to explain something. His eyes behold. In other words, they're looking. His eyelids try. Again, he's looking. The children of men. And so we find here a verse that is telling you and I that the Lord is at work. He's in his holy temple. And he is watching. He is seeing. And if we understand the New Testament, we find that when Jesus went back into the presence of God, he went back to intercede for you and for me. What's he doing today? Interceding. Have you ever came to a spot where you didn't know what to pray? And the Spirit of God just kind of said, leave it to me. And the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. He is the one that ever pleads his blood. And God is never deaf to the pleas of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he prays for us, it's going to get answered. God is always delighted in the sacrifice of his Son. And so we find here the great source of his unflinching courage. We're talking about David right here, is the nearness of the Lord. It looked discouraging. It looked harsh. It looked like he could be on the losing side. And yet we find that God be in his holy temple. And we need to remember that so often. If you notice verse number 4, his throne is greater than that of Saul, and he sees all the agonies of his subjects. Matter of fact, we find he knows some of these agonies are for a purpose. You know, God allows some things to come in our lives. Did you see what it says in verse number 5? The word try is in verse number 4, but it's talking about his eyelids try. In other words, they're looking, they're beholding. But this time it says the Lord trieth, same Hebrew word, but it's referring to what he does as he tests us. There's something I've learned being involved with education for so many years, and that is tests are teaching tools. And if a student is smart, he finds the wrong answers. It might be ranked wrong. It might reduce his score. But now he can know what the truth is. And God tests us. God takes us through some things that we might understand the strength of Almighty God. He allows us to have these things for our perfection. We notice also, he will protect them as he sees fit from the violent. Notice what it says in verse number 5. It says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Wow. He will protect them. I think about Haman. When you go to the book of Esther, and we find that he was so disgusted with the Jewish people and his hatred for Mordecai. And so he went to great lengths to try to exterminate Mordecai and all of his fellow Jewish brethren. And yet God protected him through all of that. And it's amazing to read in the book of Ezra how God did that. And so you and I, we dare not flinch in the hour of affliction. We need to raise the standard high, for there's one who cares for us. Notice verse 7. For the righteous loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. We ought never flinch in the midst of problems or whatever it might be. Dare we put our light under a bushel? Dare we avoid the cross and shun the reproach? No, we stand up. And God will sustain us. Amen? God is there for that purpose. Short psalm, wonderful words. And to one who was in a very difficult situation, and yet through it, we find that God says, listen, you need to understand where I'm at and what I can do for you. And that message is for us tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the privilege of your word. Thank you for this tremendous psalm. And Lord, I pray that these feeble words might be overtaken by the Spirit of God, and truth might come into our soul that will help us in days to come. Father, I pray for your leadership and guidance in our church. Lord, we realize that many have fears and so forth. I pray, oh God, that you might just bless them, help them through this time. I pray, oh God, for really just our video, that it might work properly each and every time. And that folks who can't get here, they can still be a part of. I pray that you might bless those that are here. Thank you for the wonderful fellowship we can have one with another, and the camaraderie. Lord, how blessed it was before the service starts to hear all the chatter and all the things going on as I sat up here. Lord, what a blessing that is. And I pray that you would be glorified through all of this. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.